Hey, Black Bloods. Welcome to the Outpost After Show. Tonight, we are breaking down the mid-season finale, Bones to Pick. We finally learn the true identities of both Gwyn and the Smith. We see Talon's new abilities, and the Captain of the Guard himself has stopped by our studio. We've got a lot to cover, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This was a big, big episode. We're finally at the halfway point of the Outpost. So much is going on. I'm your host, Veronica Valencia, and I have a great, great group of panelists with me. To my left, we have...
Taron's in the building. You already know how that goes.
Yeah. And to his left, we have...
Hey, guys. I'm Mina, back from the dead after 3 weeks.
So. After 3 weeks. So, Mina's not our only new guest today. We have a special guest, Jake Stormone, in studio, Mr. Garrett Spears himself.
Thank you so much. Jake Stormone, play Garrett Spears. Happy to be here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, AfterBuzz.
Yeah, thank you definitely for coming by. We're so excited. Coming up later in the show, again, we are talking the true identities. We are of the Smith and Gwyn. We are talking about the Lakiri. And as well as we're going to try and see what we can get out of Jake here about the coming episodes.
That's what we're hoping to get. This episode really felt like it was a halfway mark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually... at a crossroads where I'm like, I don't know what's going on exactly. Why are the storylines? Now it's like everything's moving fast paced. I need to get to next week. It was a very big episode. A lot of things happened.
Mm-hmm. Overall thoughts. Taron, thank you. We got some of yours.
Yeah,
Nina.
No, I feel the same exact way. Like, I feel like I disappeared, then I came back and I played catch up and I was like, what's happening? Like, this is getting really good now. Like, I'm emotionally invested. And I don't know, I feel like I got a little bit of Harry Potter in there, like a little towards the end.
Yeah, speak.
The parcel tongue.
Yeah.
I can speak to snakes too, Harry. So got a little bit of that.
That was good.
Yeah.
I was right there with you. Yeah. That was great.
And how was it seeing this episode after filming it, Jake?
It's always a little interesting and a little odd kind of seeing how it all comes together because it's obviously very different than how you shoot it. So to see the episode in its final form, I can't say that it's a great thing or a horrible thing. It's neither of those. It is interesting to see it all come together, and it's fun. And I try to live tweet every week, so it's really fun to see people's reactions. And I agree. I think this was a big episode. A lot happened. I'm excited for people.
We have
a lot
of people that comment on the YouTube, and they're going to probably have a lot of things to ask.
I love it. Yeah. Bring it on. Let's go.
I mean, I have
Pressure
some questions of my
on.
Own.
Yeah, right.
I have questions of my own. Did you have to take sword training for this?
All right. Here's the deal.
Yes.
I'm a huge geek and a huge nerd. I've played D&D my whole life. I've played various video games. Thank you. Nose is always in a fantasy novel. Board games, tabletop, MMOs of all sorts. So I actually fenced when I was younger. I've done archery my whole life, rock climbing.
You've done archery and fencing?
Yeah.
That's craziness to me.
Yeah.
How white are you? This is so crazy to me right now.
The whitest.
This is how good. This is great.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of that stuff since I was very young. So we went over, you know, choreography, of course, for the scenes and things like that. But I'd had a little too much experience wielding swords and playing around and messing around with that.
Good for you. Yeah, did they ask you that when you went for the audition?
I've actually worked with these guys before, so they knew all my dark, dirty secrets on things like that. But the first time, they were like, come on, man. Every actor says
they can do everything.
I'm like,
of course.
I'm like, I'm telling you.
And then you
took
the nerd
stuff.
And like,
yeah.
Pop, man,
no.
Everyone.
Yeah. Well.
And
yeah.
You're the next arrow.
I'll
CW.
Take it. It's up to you.
Already on the network.
That's right. I'm halfway there.
Yeah. So yeah, let's dive right into this episode. As we mentioned, we've got a lot to cover. So let's Talon back from the dead. Kind of, sort of, again, for a second time.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, basically. And then we go right into the very beginning of the episode is heavy as we finally get the reveal that Gwyn is part of the royal family. And Garrett is kind of, sort of, dating a royal.
Wow.
Dating, we still don't know.
So
Garrett,
you're trying to
exactly. brag, but
you're trying to be the Meghan Markle of,
listen,
of the outpost.
If you want to put a label on it. Yes.
Yeah, I see. I understand that.
That was a big reveal. That was a lot of fun. And I saw on Twitter and stuff that, you know, there are a handful of people that guessed it, so congratulations.
A lot of people. Even on this panel, there are some people on this panel that guessed that was the
case.
His name is Teron.
His name rhymes with...
All right.
Awesome. His name rhymes with awesome.
Yeah.
But it was a thing. That was a great reveal. I'm glad that I was right once again, but...
Yeah, I think it was a great reveal. Again, it was a reveal that I think a lot of fans kind of started to pick up on as the season went on. But I think the more shocking part about it was just how ruthless the commander came out of that whole situation. Because then we basically learned from Marshall Withers that after he betrayed the king, he kind of sacrificed his own daughter, put her in place of Gwyn to be sacrificed so that they think that the royal daughter is dead, but really it was his daughter, and that grief led to the death of his wife. And I just thought that was the bigger reveal of it all. What do you guys think?
I mean, my question is it justified to do something like that for the greater good? Like, do the ends justify the means? Because you could argue that maybe he's doing what's in the best interest of the kingdom versus his own personal ties. So, I don't know. I think it goes against your, like...
ruthless assessment.
I don't know.
Oh, you're looking at me.
Well, we're hoping to get some insight, but I also understand what Mina's saying in that regards, is that it's not ruthless, it's loyalty. It's loyalty to his king. And we live in a democracy of sorts and a capitalistic society of sorts, and we're so far removed from that type of structure that it's hard for us to see any of us doing that ourselves. However, there was a time in which the king's word was God's word, and that's how that worked. And when the king commanded, the soldier followed. And we see a structure like that in the military. And as Garrett, is that how Garrett is following structure, or is Garrett a believer of these ideas?
Oh, geez. I'm bringing out the big guns now. It's funny because I remember when I got the script for this episode, because, I mean, we all know it's a rather lighthearted show for the most part. It's a lot of fun. It's not that up until now, I would say. So I remember reading that and going, it's a little dark.
for this show.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I think and that's something that I've alluded to in various interviews and stuff up till this point and this episode airing, is that Garrett is very much, in my opinion, loyal to the cause. General Calcazar, Commander Calcazar, is the one that brought him back to the outpost after he left. And he brought him back with the sole intention of protecting Gwyn. So Garrett's been in on this, and it's why he has such a tumultuous relationship with Gwyn, is there's so much at play there that now the audience is privy to that, again, a lot of people guessed early on, but now you know. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, something that we have talked about on this panel is the differences between Marshall Withers and Garrett, and that Marshall Withers is very much about the law. He wants to keep order, he wants to keep peace, and he's willing to do whatever he has to do that, whereas Garrett comes in, and he's a little bit more of heart. He wants people, if they're going to be killed for a crime, he wants it to be justified. He wants it to make sure that they're actually the person who committed this crime, not just on a speculation. And so that's kind of where we've seen Garrett, is that he is this guard who does obey the law, and he comes in and he does this job, but he has a little bit more heart, and that's something we've talked about heavily.
It's politics versus principles. It's the definition versus the rule. And with your father on the show, we see him following a rule, at least his own version of this rule.
to go a little nerdy in D&D on you, it's chaotic good versus lawful good, right?
Exactly.
It's Garrett's a character who left the outpost and found his identity by kind of painting within the lines, whereas I think his father, you know, Marshall Withers, operates entirely in the gray. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun dynamic to play out. And there's more coming.
There's more coming.
Yeah, much more.
Five more episodes more, at least.
Exactly.
And hopefully a season two.
I would not be mad about it. Yeah. Please, viewers.
Was the reveal, the Gwyn reveal in this episode, was that the big reveal? Because I feel like there's more to Gwyn that we really don't know.
feel like there's something.
What can you say?
What can I say? Now I'm trying to remember. Based on what we shot, I would say that that is a huge reveal for her character.
Mm-hmm.
And now the fact that she is in that new light and in that that kind of role and has been thrust into that, that there will be some wonderful scenes and events that she kind of spearheads,
mm-hmm.
Or has the ability to spearhead now that that is out in the open. But I would say that is the big character reveal for her, or certainly one of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At first, when that reveal first came out, I was kind of wondering if, although Marshall Withers did know about it, I was wondering, because he's kind of the main one, if she was still pretty much in the dark in the grand scheme of things, and I was wondering if she was going to stay hidden or if she was going to rise up and take on this role that she knows she has. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, well, we didn't even know if Gwen knew herself.
Yeah.
We kind of had a hint at it, but we didn't know. We didn't know that Garrett knew, and Garrett was very aware. Actually, it's like the only person who didn't know was Marshall Withers. Like,
yeah.
He's the only guy. Like, even the Lynch walked by like, no shit, idiot, get walking. And we're all looking like, wait. Only he didn't know. So it was just an interesting reveal. And the way they revealed it, where Marshall Withers comes in and basically tries to blackmail Gwen with So that identity, the reveal, the only other person who also doesn't know is Talon. And it causes a conflict between the two.
Exactly. It causes Gwen to give up Talon. And we see that Gwen is starting a friendship with Talon because...
Talon was starting to trust, let her wall down. We were talking about this last week. Let her wall down. She's kind of feeling it.
Gwen.
She's becoming affectionate towards the outpost. And then Gwen, and you know what, Gwen? Snitches get stitches. That's all I'm saying.
But it's also kind of like she was in such a hard situation. Like, what would you do, you know, if you had to keep this secret, to keep this appearance, and the one person who you kind of have a starting relationship with, like a genuine friendship with, because up until this point, Gwen has really only had servants. She has never had a genuine friendship, let alone a genuine female friendship.
True.
So now it's probably hard on her because she's had to give up Talon. I'm sure that's not something she wanted to do, but it was something she felt she had to do.
Yeah, I do. I understand. And me in that situation, it'd be a very difficult way to kill Marshall Withers. Listen, Marshall Withers is the continued protagonist in this situation, antagonist. He antagonizes the situation, and clearly he's not letting things go. Now, I understand that on the show he's your father, and Garrett has a certain love-hate relationship with his own father. However, if we're talking about the greater good, you're talking about a general that allowed his own daughter to die for the greater good. If I'm the general, I'm making the call. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Kill him. Like, I'm making that call.
You're looking at me again. I don't know. I mean, come on, give Garrett a little credit, right? He drew his sword on his own father for the greater good, potentially. He was ready to do the deed if he had to, I would say. But no, there was a lot happening in that scene and in that room. And there were a lot of, I guess, decisions that had to be made very quickly in the name of loyalty and the greater good,
yeah.
As you said.
I mean, I'm just under that impression you don't negotiate with terrorists. That's how...
And that's what Marshall Withers is at this point?
Well, that's how he is. If you blackmail him, if you're blackmailing for this point, what else are you going to get later when you realize, wait, I can just do this anytime I want something. I can just bring this up. Under my rule, I would have had to have him thinking.
More than Talon, you think?
More than Talon. Talon's not the problem. Talon's not investigating. I understand. Giving up Talon isn't the crime.
Devil's advocate. That's what,
concept of just Marshall Withers demanding something in exchange for this. He didn't say, hey, here's my reason for needing Talon. If he had done that, that's a different conversation. What he's doing is saying, if you don't deliver Talon onto me, I'm going to deliver this news onto the people. And that's where it gets.
It's not cool.
There's this infamous scene in Usual Suspects where Kaiser Soze, his family is being kidnapped and the wife was raped and it was just so dreadful by these people. And Kaiser Soze goes there and they're holding them hostage and he kills his own family first and then kills the hostage takers and then all their families.
If you haven't seen the movie.
Whoops. Awkward.
No, it's true, though.
But that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Marshall Withers is going to be a little bit more accepting these coming episodes based on what happened later on in the episode, which we will get into. But before we get into any of that, Teron has a special message for everyone.
Well, I'd like to say, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, including The Outpost. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channels, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. Sometimes YouTube suggests content that's just like, why are you suggesting this to me, YouTube? But they know us better than we know ourselves. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out for our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments below, and let us know your questions, comments, and concerns. We love responding. I'm petty enough that I respond to every single one, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you. We love and appreciate that you tune into our show every week, so thank you so much for that. Also, if you are not able to watch on YouTube, you can also check us out on iTunes. Go on iTunes, find our show, give us a rating, give us a review, so you have the option. Check us out on YouTube or on iTunes.
Give us a good rating, or else.
Ooh, spooky. All right, so let's get into our next topic of conversation, which is Talon and the Lakiri. So we see Talon. She basically is handed over to Marshall Withers. He's getting what he wants out of the situation. Sheck comes in and is looking for Black Bloods. And Marshall Withers basically looks at him like, dude, you're crazy. There's no such thing. Pointy ears, Black Bloods, what you talking about? Kind of thing. Little does he know, again, like one of the only ones. Actually, no, Garrett didn't know this one either.
It's true.
I was going to say. One of the, again, the only one who, like, didn't know the big secret in the outpost. For a guy who's supposed to know everything, he absolutely knows nothing.
That's why he hates Talon. Because he's always constantly saying, I wish things were back the way they were when he was basically in charge of his domain.
Where he was in charge, he knew what was going on, he was the absolute authority. He wants that control back.
He does.
But obviously it looks like that might not happen. And so he decides to take Talon, because they basically want to find Toru Magmore's murderer. And instead of handing over Talon, Marshall Withers takes her, thinking he's doing her a justice. Like, oh, they're going to torture you. My way is quick and slow. Or quick and fast. That's what I meant to say. And so then
Freudian slip.
And then, of course, the Lakiri shows up and saves her, which to this point, last episode, it stabbed her, and now it's rescuing her for whatever reason.
I feel like the Lakiri
is
the Mina of the of the show.
Wow. Hey,
the Lakiri is passive aggressive. It is passive aggressive.
Oh, no. Shots fired.
And then let's live.
Do not drag me into this. I am not a Sour Patch Kid. I'm not sour and sweet. No.
That's
I'm sweet, right?
Totally sweet. Yeah.
See?
100%.
That felt like fear on Garrett's face.
You've seen it now. You know what to look for.
That was good.
No, I'm harmless, guys.
No. But Talon and the Demon, I don't know.
One of our commenters on YouTube, John Hill, actually had a really good point that I thought was interesting. He said, I assume the Demon can sense how Talon is feeling, which I could see that in the last episode. She was, you know, going to try and stop him. So maybe he felt danger and had to protect himself. This episode, she was feeling fear. She was about to die. So he thought, okay, I'll go protect her. I think that's an interesting theory that could very well be plausible. So,
Jake?
Yep.
Oh, come on, man. I don't have any scenes with the Lakiri, but that's not true because we just witnessed it. I don't know. That's a question for Talon.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be, hopefully, I'll be our next guest.
There you go.
That's what
we'll make it happen.
We need to start bringing everyone on the show.
Perfect.
And Marshall Withers. Be like, how did you not know?
Is it one of those things where you have to imagine the Lakiri, or is it like some sort of costume when you're
like
doing the scene? Like, what is it?
Most of the time, it's a point somewhere where they say, okay, there's your eye line.
Okay.
Have fun. I believe in the scene tonight where it jumps up through the sewers, mm-hmm. We actually had one of our our stunt men in a giant green suit on stilts.
That's very cool.
To interact with Marshall Withers and mm-hmm. with Jess, who plays Talon, and a couple others. So, but most of the time it is just completely fabricated and an eyeline, a tennis ball.
So is it easier to act when it's an actual figure versus your imagination imagining a dot? What's easier for you?
I don't know. I mean, it really depends. It's either way, it's not, you're not looking at the monster, right? I mean, right. Either way, it takes a certain level of just kind of going with it and mm-hmm. and jumping into the imagination. But the more that's there, the better, I think.
I was just going to ask, did they give you a sketch at all of what the final product would look like? So that way you knew how to be scared or like should be?
They did. They had a fair amount of artwork and sketches and things like that. And there was, you know, parts of a practical one built at certain points and things like that. And I'm not sure when those are used. I know they are. But so, yeah, we had things to go by. But mm-hmm. But I think that those designs have changed even still between the time we wrapped and when it appeared on screen. So that was kind of fun, too, to go, oh, it's a little different. But, yeah, all right.
The Lucuri is one of the stronger parts of the show as far as CGI or whatever effects that you're using. A lot of shows, it's expensive to do this, and so I'm sure it costs fairly a big part of the budget. And it gives it the mythical aspect sure. that the show is mm-hmm. missing without that.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a lot of magic thus far. We've seen glimmer and glimpses of possible magic, but Lucuri is basically the magical feel to the show that makes mm-hmm. it so that this is an outer realm.
Although I do think the Plaguelings are a bit more terrifying than the Lucuri.
Plaguelings are nightmarish.
I don't know, something coming out of your mouth.
Oh. It like hurts like, me you. To watch just, that, just like something stretching out of your throat.
It's interesting because the Plagueling to me is a lot less realistic than the Lucuri.
Hmm.
When it comes to this, I don't know why that specific storyline and arc exists. But the Lucuri plays to the Black Blood. It plays to the myth of Talon. It plays to a storyline. It's within the outpost. And I'm always, every time I see the Plagueling, I'm always like, why have we gotten off track again? Where did the zombie vampire storyline come in? And I'm not saying that it's not good. I just don't think it's introduced or needed at this time. And that's how I'm feeling.
I mean, I think the Plaguelings as well as the Greyskins were brought in to kind of help build this world of the outpost, that it is, you know, this fantasy realm where there's a lot of great danger outside those walls. It's not just the order. It's not just humans. There's this grand scheme of other supernatural mythical creatures out there that can take you down.
Yeah, it's just the diversity and the range of like each category of people, from Black Bloods to Plaguelings to, and like you trying to sort out, okay, what is good, what is evil, who's on whose team, where are the alliances. So I do feel like it helps build that rich world.
Did you feel like you had to struggle with a lot of different storylines within these arcs?
I have to find a diplomatic answer to this and not give anything away. I will say this with a show like this that isn't based on books or a previous franchise or anything like that. You are by necessity, and to the extent at which you do that is up to you. But by necessity, you have to build the rules with which the world operates, right? And the mythologies and the hierarchies and the alliances and things like that. So there's a lot of ground to cover. And all I can say is that they all do see an appearance again before the season is over. More answers are coming.
Do they tie together nicely?
You got to watch the show, man. No, it all comes back and it starts to make a little sense and you go, okay, all right, I'm with you now. But it takes time to get there when it's something like this. And I think that, you know, should we get a second season, that then it will open with, now you have this backstory. Now you know the rules that are on the playing field. You know what to expect, and you wonder what can happen beyond those. So I would say that – I'm trying to remember now which episode specifically. But I would say in the next couple episodes there's going to be a lot of ground covered in that arena specifically.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do we get any more introductions to any different types of mythology or supernatural creatures besides what we've already been introduced to?
I don't want to say yes or no to that because maybe some people are going, all right,
you don't have to say anything.
You can wink twice. Give me a head nod.
Blink once for yes and twice for no. How was that?
Three times. With Talon and the Demon, I like how you put it, Mina. You said the Harry Potter feel of I can speak parcel tongue. She all of a sudden spoke her ancestral language, which it didn't occur to me that she was able to. But then again, she was also 8 when she lost her family. So, of course, she was able to, but it just never really occurred to me until that moment. And I'm interested in knowing how it occurred to her to speak that language in order to speak to the Lokuri. And that's what caused her to control it, because that was a very good, logical, based on the realm's rules, way to solve that problem.
But she also would have a limited vocabulary when speaking the language and a limited number of things she could tell it to do, because she did last speak it when she was 8 years old, and she's not around people who speak it when she's an older age, so she's not going to retain like a more complex vocabulary to have it do like more difficult things that she would be able to process at the age she is now.
I mean, she's spoken enough to save someone's life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of basics.
That's kind of something that the Smith brings up later, is that she has to get past the point of fear, and he brings up the fact that, well, you're about to die, so there's no more fear left. So maybe it finally was able to come out. She was finally able to speak it because she didn't think she had anything to lose at that point.
You know, I've been about to die before and never just started speaking better Farsi than I speak now. I just think it made sense. I believe that, wow, I forgot she did speak a different language because she went to the new family and had to learn a new language. So very interesting aspect. I want to know where she made the leap from. Talon tried to control the Lokuri by speaking English. Then I, Talon, am speaking black blood, and the Lokuri is now being controlled.
Mm. I always wonder about languages and fantasy shows and, like, what they come from, derive from,
oftentimes,
any insight?
Was there an actual language? But I don't know what that
is. There was. I don't know to what extent they wrote it out, but they're absolutely... The phrases and things like that, they had mechanics and a repeating pattern and things like that. Yeah. So, in theory, if you go back, oh God, I'm going to get somebody in trouble now. If you go back and watch and there are phrases repeated, it should all be the same. And you can kind of piece that together and go, okay, I see how they conjugated that or where those words come from. And
that's interesting. Yeah. I know that they do that in a lot of these advanced mythologies. I know when you watch, for example, Lord of the Rings or whatever you watch in that realm, those languages actually exist.
Right.
Someone actually comprehensively created an entire language for that show. And I feel that with the Black Blood language, I have heard some of the phrases being repeated. I don't know to what extent. I don't know the verbology yet.
I wish I had an answer for yeah.
I don't know if Talon's even pronouncing it that well, to be honest. I don't feel like she's kind of speaking it with, like, she's speaking French with that
American accent.
Like, bonjour, comme ça va.
Well, we established it's been a minute. We'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
But I don't know to which extent, or to what extent rather, the language was developed. I certainly don't think it's, you know, full Elvish or Dothraki, but... But there were very intentional research and things like that.
Interesting.
That
you really are a nerd.
Oh, dude.
You really are.
Don't even.
Dothraki? Oh, my gosh.
Doesn't even count. Come on. Game of Thrones is so big now that. Come on. Yeah.
So we brought up the Smith in that comments. Let's go into the Smith right now, because he has been the biggest mystery, I think, this entire season, because he's so. Like, he just teases Talon. He's like, I know about your family.
But I don't. I'm not going to tell you. Now, I can, but I won't.
Did anybody here who rhymes with awesome figure that one out ahead of time? Or?
Yes.
The awesome person
also was like, the Smith is the person who... There's actually a story about that. There's a story. I don't remember which one of the fables or fairy tales that relates to it. It's one of the Snow White, Cinderella stories where the hunter comes and then saves the baby. It's also based on a Greek mythology revolving around Oedipus Rex, the concept of the killer saving the baby or having a heart for this one instant in time.
Yeah, that's Maleficent.
The woodsman did something, but it's also before
those archetypes repeat.
One of the Hans Christian.
Exactly. There is a story where this happens, and then, of course, Oedipus is what I would think is one of the most famous. So that's where I saw the Smith coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we basically learned, we speculated this earlier in the season, and it was basically confirmed that he was the guy who was supposed to kill Talon, but didn't, because he saw the miracle of the Lakiri sticking his hand out and basically saving her. And then he had a change of heart. He's like, she has so much more to live for. And that was like one of his last words, sadly. Because he got stabbed.
He got stabbed.
Too soon.
By Shaq, he did. I was expecting him to live a little more. But one thing that actually, his lying skills were really horrible. My arrows don't miss. But it did this time. You're right. Yeah, they did. And you know what else? Like, wait, whoa. Try one more. I mean, like, try, you know, you're the guy that gets caught. Like, at least lie, bro. Lie. Yeah. Lie a little.
Jake, what do you think the Smith would have had to roll to dodge that?
Oh, geez. Depends what his AC is, right?
Yeah.
Come on. You're gonna out me as such a geek right now, because
we need to hear it.
We gotta talk about armor class. We gotta talk about classes in general, and I don't know if it's a rogue dodge versus some warrior dodge.
What level you are.
Hunter, come on. You know what you're talking about.
You too.
Yeah.
Stop
it. I'm with you. I'm with you right now.
Stop it, you too.
Yeah.
Talk about D&D, guys.
I got a D20 in my pocket right now, which sounds like a horrible joke.
No, I was going to ask.
Horrible joke.
That's how you promote yourself. And I was going to ask, do you really?
You can't call me on that and expect me,
That's crazy, because I have no idea what you're talking about or what you're about to pull out your pocket. Okay.
I should have milked that moment a little bit longer. Yeah, absolutely. There we go.
There we go. What is this?
That is so funny.
It's my D20.
The D&D die?
It's a 20-sided dice.
Okay.
You know they have those rings now? They're just like
their
rings.
Yeah.
And you could just, yep.
Yep, and you spin it and it lines up with a line.
Yep.
Like in the D20 ring.
Did you want to see it?
Are we now?
Yeah.
Inception.
But I think,
right?
Yeah.
I think she wanted to actually see it more. I'm so glad that this is not in the outpost, because I have no idea what it has to do with it.
Maybe it is hidden Easter egg.
That's right. That's my, it's my childhood and my adulthood. I can't even lie. Let's be real.
Good for you.
Was it on?
Oh, 16. That's not bad.
Right.
That's pretty good.
So what does that mean?
16 probably would have hit, though. That's that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Depends what your modifier is.
Are you lost? I'm lost.
I am lost. I don't
Okay, I'm going to shut it down. Right. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to need to know more.
Bringing it back to...
I need to know more about the Smith.
Yeah.
The Smith...
I was going to say, bring it back to reality.
The Smith didn't lie well, and he forged a last sword. Did everyone catch the last sword that he forged, what he was working on right before he got killed? What happened to that sword?
It's just there?
Because I feel like that's something that's going to play a part. That sword needs to be used for something. Talon's going to find that sword after coming to search for the Smith. Because she doesn't... I don't know if she knows that he's dead. I don't think Sheck specifically said that.
No.
Just that the wolf is your Smith, and made it sound very present tense.
He also said, like, don't you want your revenge? So he kind of, like, tried to illustrate, like, oh, this person is still alive, and mislead her in a sense to distract her. So I think she probably thinks he's still alive, and there's going to be some sort of mystery surrounding his death that she can't quite piece together.
Yeah, because she was out getting revenge during all that, wasn't she? Or I guess
That's actually kind of her. That's her Friday nights. Every week, Talon goes and just tries to get revenge on somebody.
Again, this episode, it's like every episode leading up until this episode, I always had questions that they wouldn't answer. And every time I had a question in this episode, it was immediate answer. As soon as he died, I was like, oh no, it's going to be so sad. Like, Talon, you know, is going to feel betrayed that the one person who could help her was also the one, also someone who helped kill her entire village. And I'm like, that's going to be so terrible for her. And then she immediately finds out. So I was like, okay, now we know how that played out. And she just basically uses it like, he is the least of my worries. Right now, I need to take care of you, meaning Sheck.
Right.
So
I feel like you're the most likely to be a black blood. I just feel like...
It's a compliment. Wear that badge.
She has special powers.
It is. Yeah. Elves are magical.
I'm most likely to be Boom. John, so.
You're the,
to be a brewer.
But a secretly smart brewer, a deceptively intelligent brewer.
Thank you.
Who tries to explain to her mom?
No, not a bad thing at all.
Hang around. So you know what?
Aren't
you
Garrett,
happy with what we have? Yeah,
no, I feel like you would be
Garrett. I feel like you'd be Garrett.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It actually does make a lot of sense.
Thank you. Thank you. I think.
And who would you be?
I'm Gwen. I'm sorry to tell you guys. I don't want to be Gwen, but I feel like I'm the Gwen of the group.
The life of privilege.
I'm just charmed, you know? I just can't help it. And I feel like I am a royal.
Yeah.
All right. So any final thoughts on this episode? I know it was a mid-season finale. It was a lot to take in. Tehran, Mina, any final thoughts? Jake, we'll get to you.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the line at the end when the guy was saying, like, you're trying to kill the sword instead of killing the killer. It felt, like, really relevant to, like, this whole gun debate that's going right now in our current political climate when people are like, guns kill people, not humans, where it's like, well, you know, we need to have gun control, blah, blah, blah. I just thought it was, like, an interesting line at the very end where he was saying that her aggression is misplaced and it's directed towards the wrong person, which it wasn't. Mm-hmm.
I think that as I've been watching the arc, I have more of an affinity towards the characters. In the beginning of the show, I was one of the people who was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to even like the show. And now I find myself really liking the show. I really like Garrett. Obviously, his character has come to life a lot more. I really like Gwen.
You had to say that, but I'll take it.
I mean, but it's true. I've actually talked about it whether you were here or not. I've liked Garrett a lot. And I like where Garrett goes because of that loyalty and that soldier aspect. I like Gwen way more than I thought I would ever like Gwen. Gwen has become possibly my favorite character. And the writing on this episode was the best of all the previous episodes. It was the best. It was well written. That line with the sword was very well done. It actually did stand out in my mind as well. And I liked the action. There's a lot of action sequences that seem to be better. They seem to be much more on, whether the choreography, whether it's because like Jessica Green is becoming a better actress as the show goes on, whatever it is, it's tying together. And I did really like, you're right, I really liked how every question I had was answered. I almost got too many answers this episode, all in one. I almost got too much information, too many answers where I'm like, wow, this is strong. This was strong. I liked the Shek character coming in. Also another strong addition. I did not like him dying so soon because I was just starting to kind of like him. Mm-hmm. And that move that Talon pulled at the end to kill him was actually pretty cool in a way. And I also felt this new thing where Talon likes fighting. I knew she liked fighting in the beginning, but she actually likes fighting even in these situations where her life is in danger. Not just the ones where she knows she can win, but even because she smiles the whole time. She gives a smirk every time she does a little move. She does a smirk like,
I think it's
I
a
just
life.
Did that.
Yeah, I think can we see that one more time? Yeah.
How's that?
Sorry. There it is. Yeah.
Close up.
Yeah. I think that's just a place of like being familiar, because that's the life that she's had to live thus far. It's always fighting, always trying to survive. And we also know that she is a really good fighter. As we learned last week, she would win against Garrett in a fight.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You even agreed to it.
All right. It's true. I know my place.
The fans know. The fans
they do.
Know.
They do. We've witnessed
it. She talked about it. She talked about it on air. You voted exactly. against yourself.
Oh, I remember. I was called out. Yeah. I watch your show. I'm with you.
But, Jake, my question for you is, since a few episodes have come out now, how has it been, the reception from the fans, seeing the show? Obviously, it's as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, it's a much different process when you're filming it as opposed to when you finally see it all come together on air. So how has it been for you, the reception, being able to see the work being put together?
Sure. Oh, gosh. How much time do I have to answer that? 30 seconds. No, it's, you know what? It's been great. I mean, I think we've already established that this type of show and project is right up my alley as far as interests go. So I had the best time. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, and that's why I like acting, is I like getting to live those stories and those fairy tales that I grew up with. So I had a great time on set, and I love that now we're getting to share it with people. And it's funny because when it first came out, I saw people try to compare it to like Xena or Hercules or Legend of the Seeker or even like Beastmaster and, you know, things like that. And it, some people were saying it in a nostalgic, pro, you know, outpost way, and others it was kind of a little bit of a dig or whatever. And I read that and I'm like, those are the shows I grew up on, man.
Yeah.
I love those things. So for me, I think there's no secret as to what our show is at this point. You know the characters, you know the world. And I think it's a lot of fun. I think you just gotta, and you guys touched on this in the past, I think you just gotta buckle up and enjoy the ride and have fun with it and lean into it and have a good time. And I think if you're willing to do that, there is a lot of fun to be had. And the response online, which is all I really get to see, you know, I don't have any insight on anything other than people reaching out to me directly.
Well, you were a hit at Comic-Con.
But
your panels was definitely a hit.
It was. No, Comic-Con was a lot of fun. That was the first time I'd gotten to be on that side of things at San Diego Comic-Con. But so that was great. But no, people have been very supportive, and they've really jumped on board the wagon. And they've got their favorites, and they're shipping everybody, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and, you know, cue the fanfic and ready to go. So I'm having a great time with it. I think it's been a lot of fun. I'm excited for people to see what comes next, and we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. And I agree with what you said that, you know, as a viewer of the show, you kind of just have to buckle in and get ready for the journey, because fantasy, and we've touched on this before, fantasy is just such a hard genre to tackle because, again, you have this world building, you have all the stuff that you need to cover.
Right, right.
And so it's just, it's a very big project, and so thank you for taking that on, giving us something to talk about.
Yeah, no, absolutely, thank you. And I will say that again, that our show specifically, it is an original, you know, mythology and world, and there was a lot of ground to cover, and a lot of that has occurred in the first five episodes. And I would say there's a few more answers coming, as I alluded to earlier. But I think if you let yourself, you know, ride along and get to that, you'll be very comfortable and have a good time.
I have three quick questions.
Before...
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I'm taking too long. I'm rambling. Sorry.
Before what?
No, go on. Go with your
quick questions. Number one, Jake and Talon hook up. Come on, Garrett.
Actually...
Can't say.
Let's rewind a little bit, because that's going to be a great segue into what we're going to talk about next. We are running a little bit behind on time, so let's get into some rapid, quick predictions for the next episodes.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right.
I don't have predictions. I have questions.
And here we go.
And that's what this is.
I need to know if Garrett and Talon hook up.
You have to wait and see.
I need to know if the Prime Order and Garrett takes over the Prime Order.
Prime Order's bad, man.
And the most important question, yes, are we going to get a season two?
I hope so. Everyone, tweet it out, request it, show your love if you're enjoying the show. Reach out to me. I try to be as available as I can on all social media.
Who should we be tagging when we tweet?
I don't know. I would say the CW. Outpost series on Instagram, and I want to say Twitter as well. One of them was taken on one of the. Yeah. You have to do a search, but they're verified. So find the blue check mark.
Are we going to learn more about Garrett's childhood?
Yes.
Him growing up.
Yes. And his relationship with Withers.
Yes.
Yes.
And his relationship with his mother.
Yes.
Strong.
Hmm. Very strong.
Mina?
Yes, those answers
I
are
just
coming.
Want to know what's going on with Calypso. Like, we those, haven't really
You're heard such yet. A druggie, Mina.
I don't want
to
know.
I will take a moment to say that answers regarding Calypso are imminent and will be forthcoming.
I just want to know why it's so sought after. Like, is it going to cure the kingdom? Is it going to create, like, complete world domination?
We'll
in
have
this
to
kingdom?
Wait and see, Mina.
Yeah. Will Garrett get on that Calypso train?
You know,
no,
based
Garrett,
on
I learned it by watching you.
Remember that old commercial? You, Dad,
you. That was their relationship.
Right. I'm with you.
And on that note, we will end the show there. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. We appreciate you tuning in every single week, watching the show along with us. Guys, where can the people find you on the internet?
Well, thank you so much, Jake, for being here. We appreciate
you
taking the time out to be here with us.
You. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it and the insight you gave us. And you can, of course, find me at I Am Taron, because I am Taron all across the board on the tweet and the Facebook and the Instagram and all over the social media universe that you guys love so much at I Am Taron.
Hey guys, you can follow me on Instagram at MinaMakesMagic.
And me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the above, at Jake Stormone. Stormoen. Crazy name, I know.
Rhymes with hormone.
Yes, it does.
You'll never forget it now. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V. Again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure you join us for episode 6.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.